Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen, amen. You can be seated if you would, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, Brother Brian, will you shut that door back there? You say Brian and half the church turns their head. Is that Brian? That's good. Amen. Why should I gain from his reward? Truthfully, I can't give an answer. Amen. So, I don't know if you guys, for those of you that haven't been to Faith and Victory before, we don't do announcements at our church. So, if you want to know the announcements, you can read them in your bulletin. And you can also go online, sign up for the newsletter. They're up on the screen before you get here. But I do want to tell you a couple things before I get preaching here. First one is that we're going to have a thing for the kids on October 31st here at the church. And so would you just start bringing some candy? Like when you're at the store buying yourself three or four bags of candy, would you just buy one for the kids? We're just going to come here. It's a good time of fellowship. And so my kids, I don't know why, they like dressing up crazy and getting free candy. And so I don't know. I don't really know what to do about the whole entire thing. But I know that all the kids that I knew in college that their parents kept them from doing anything that was even remotely like that, they just turned even out wackier in college. So I'm trying to stem the tide and maybe just give my kids a little bit of normalcy. So we just believe if you don't do something, if you don't provide something, the world will. So, and I don't want my kids sitting at the house looking through the blinds wondering why they're a bunch of freak jobs that have to go to church. So just bring them down here and shove them full of candy and send them home with you. Amen? So that, and then, what was the other one? Youth, yes. So on October 16th is a Wednesday. And how many of you guys know that we have a youth group here? Amen. You know, Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Brittany do such a wonderful job. They've been doing a great job. You know, our youth group is growing. I mean, I think they're getting like about 16 kids that are coming out on Sunday night. They're doing a great job. And so we're going to have a youth night on a Wednesday night service, and they're going to run the whole service. Like, they're going to do greeting. They're going to do worship. They're going to preach. Pastor Jeremy's going to preach. And so he's real nervous about it. And so I want you, as many as people as possible, to come out to make him more nervous. Because, I mean, if there's just a few people, he won't be that nervous. If we're just here, like, waiting, then he'll sweat, and it'll be great. It'll be fantastic. So put that on your calendar. And I know that for some of y'all, Wednesday nights are hard because of work and school and kids and all those other things that come with it. But just come out and support them on Wednesday night service, because it'll be a great time. So you guys come to that? That'd be good? All right. I'll hold you to it. All right. Preaching. You guys want to hear some good preaching? Amen. Amen. Let's pray the Lord. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. And God, we pray that your presence would just be made known through this message, God, that it would correct, that it would train, that it would inspire, that it would encourage. God, we just pray that you would do your work in this message, God, that it would be transformational and informational, God. Father, we need your presence upon it. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I was never discipled after I became a follower of Jesus. I became a believer in Jesus when I was like probably 15 years old, 1990, and I gave my life to Christ. And what's interesting about modern-day Christianity is that we kind of fail at making disciples. The common discipleship plan of the Christian church is just keep showing up, and then eventually you just get it. And so there's parts of Christianity that I eventually got just from showing up. But I think by and large, the church fails at having a concrete plan in which they take somebody from believer to disciple. When somebody is a disciple, they are a student. They have been discipled. They have been taught. And when somebody is about something, it's pretty easy to tell when they're about it. You know, you take like hunters, for example. Like we have hunters in this church. You can't see them because they're wearing camouflage. And like a person that's a hunter, you know that they're a hunter because they wear camouflage and they talk about hunting and they talk about all the things they think he's. They talk about all the game that they catch and all the people that they go hunting with and all these other things. They're completely about it. They've been taught of what it means to be a hunter. But when it comes to being followers of Jesus, we don't really even know how to start that process. We don't even know what it takes to be one. And when you hear words like disciple and we don't know what to do with it, well, today we're continuing our study of the book of John. And Jesus talks pretty clearly about what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. So we're going to be talking today about what it takes to be a follower of Jesus, how to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and ask that question. When it comes to following Jesus, are we about it? Are we halfway? Are we all the way? For those of you that are just joining us, we've been going through the book of John now for about a year and a half. Some of you guys are like, man, you guys aren't in a rush, are you? And I'm like, the only rush I'm in is to get to heaven and have Jesus come back. And so we just kind of take our time. We're in John chapter 8, then about a year and a half. There's another 10 to go. We're probably going to be done with it about 2015. So it's just kind of how it is. And it ain't going to be any faster today because we're only getting through two verses today. So we're in John chapter 8, and we're doing verse 31 and 32. And it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Now, what does this verse say? Well, Jesus is speaking to these guys who believed in him, and understand that the curve of this story, we've been in John chapter 8, I think, for about 6 or 8 weeks, man. But it all happens in one day. And we're just taking our time going through it, and it's fine. And what he's saying to these guys, that as he was talking to some of the Jews, some Jewish people didn't believe in him, but some people have, and so the ones that have now started to believe in him, he says, "If you continually stay connected to what I've been saying to you, you are my disciples." Jesus didn't merely just walk around talking willy-nilly for no reason. He spoke with the expectation, the understanding that people would abide by his teaching. Abide means to remain, to stay in. And so he's telling these guys, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my student, you have to stay connected to what I've been saying to you, and that will make you my disciples. And then he says, because of that, because of the fact that you have knowledge and you are my disciples, you're going to know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. So let's start at the beginning of this thing. What does it mean? Well, first off, Jesus is speaking to those who believe in him. And I think it's an important distinction because it says in verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him." Folks, there are a ton of precious promises of God to those people who actually believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the universe. And those precious promises are reserved for those that actually believe it. Not for everyone that just would live under the protection of God, for people that actually put their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior of the universe. And Jesus is speaking directly to those who wish to be followers of Jesus. And the truth that he is speaking is spoken directly to those that actually believe. Because the truth is, what benefit is it to share the promises of God to people who don't actually believe that Jesus is the Savior of the universe? It's to no benefit, because they're not promises to them. They might be ideas, they might be exciting, but if they don't believe that somebody, if somebody doesn't actually believe that Jesus is the Savior of the universe, those aren't promises for them. There isn't a promise of blessing. There isn't a promise of Scripture that they get until you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, until you believe that Jesus did pay the penalty for your sin on the cross. That's why I always encourage people, when it comes to witnessing to people, to rarely get into foolish arguments with people about things, because to the unsaved mind, they cannot grasp anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Trying to have an argument with somebody at work about how many animals were on the ark, or can God make a rock so big that He can't move it, or why did they have the golden cup in the bag, or whatever. I mean, any sort of argument, an unsaved mind, and by saying unsaved, it hasn't been saved from their sins, they cannot grasp anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Those higher level things of God, they're never going to grasp. Point in fact, how many of you, before you got saved, couldn't understand the Bible, and as soon as you got saved, you could understand the Bible? It became alive to you because your mind got regenerated. And the regenerated mind can understand the concepts and the principles of God. The unregenerated mind cannot understand the principles and the concepts of God. That's why a lot of times people will come in into the church and they don't believe in Jesus, and they'll listen to me and they'll be like, "What the heck is that guy talking about?" Well, they're unregenerated. So they can't grasp the things of God. And so Jesus knows this. And so as he's speaking these truths to these Jewish people, he does it with a full understanding that these guys are part of the people that actually believe that he is who he says that he is. You can't put the cart in front of the horse here, folks. The beginning of a relationship with the Creator is understanding who Jesus is. That's where it begins. It begins with understanding that. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Folks, you cannot even see the present day reality of the kingdom of God without first being born again. That element of being born again is a newness. It's a freshness. It's a shedding off of the old skin, becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ. And through that process, what Jesus is talking about is for those that believe experience a present-day reality of the kingdom of God. There is two kingdoms of God. There is a coming kingdom of God in which we're going to be in heaven with the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. That is a reality that we're all working for. But being born again provides us a present-day kingdom of God experience. Amen? A present-day kingdom of God experience. And it's what Jesus desires for His disciples. It's what He desires for us, is that if we would become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we would experience kingdom living on this side of heaven. Amen? That's why people that are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, that are disciples of Him, experience things of God that other people do not experience because they have not become followers of Jesus Christ. What happens is a lot of people make a decision for Christ to receive Him as Savior, but don't actually become a follower of Jesus, and so they don't experience kingdom living because they're not following Jesus. When you become a disciple of Jesus, you're able to experience kingdom living on this side of heaven. Amen? And it's only able to be attained through our belief in Him and becoming His disciples. Now, I like this in verse 31. He says, and in my Bible, it turns into red letters. And red letters means Jesus is talking. And it says, if you are my disciples. He makes the distinction to say some people will not become my disciples. Some people seem to think the only reason why Jesus came was to provide you some fire insurance. Fire insurance meaning to protect you from hell. And He did. Jesus came, died on the cross for your sins, for all of humanity's sins, and by believing in Jesus, you are able to escape the pit fires of hell and live for eternity with Jesus. He does provide you that good fire insurance. But His goal was not to just save us from hell, but was for us to become disciples of Him, to become followers of Him, to become students of Jesus. And this morning I'm going to show you a ton of scriptures that explain how fervently Jesus wants us to become followers of Him, not just believers in Him. Amen? Part of the problem with modern-day Christianity is that we have become a club of people who have made decisions to receive salvation while rejecting becoming a disciple. For whatever reason, we come into the church and the church says, "Amen, become a disciple." We're like, "Amen, I'm saved. What else you need from me, brother? I gave my life to Jesus. What more do you want?" Well, it's not what I want. It's what God wants, man. I have nothing to gain by you becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. My following Christ is not going to change based on whether or not you're following Christ or not. I'm just trying to live out the Word. Amen? It's like, to me, it's like the person that joins the gym and never goes. You talk to anybody in a gym, they'll tell you the best time to be in selling gym memberships is in January. Because everybody joins a gym in January because everybody wants to work out and everybody wants to get fit and it's a new year and it's a new start. And the gym doesn't even want you to show up. They don't care. They just want you to be a member. And a lot of people love to be a member of a gym. You know, they carry it on their little key tag. And, "Oh, man, I belong to a gym. I belong to it." But they never go. They have no desire to actually get fit. They just feel better about themselves, about the fact that they join a gym. They're spending $30-some-odd a month every single month to have a key tag that tries to pretend to let everybody else that they actually care about health and fitness when they really don't. Because if they did, they would be about it. They would make it part of their life. You know, to become physically fit, you have got to exercise 3 to 5 days a week with a measure of intensity. For a lot of years, I thought I was a runner. I was not a runner. I was a jogger. Because it's really not that hard to just kind of go like this for a couple miles. Unless you're running with my wife, who runs about 10 times faster than that, and runs down and back, and is constantly saying, "Hey man, what's taking you so long?" I finally have become a runner because I run like zombies are chasing me. Amen? If you run like zombies are chasing you, it's amazing how much faster you get into shape. If you do, I don't know anything in this world that you do halfway and then you end up doing it really well. Except being lazy. You can be halfway lazy and do it pretty well. Amen? When it comes to the things of God, I believe that God is calling us to be fully devoted followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I want to show this with you. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is saying his last words to his disciples before he goes off to heaven. And, you know, last words that somebody says before they leave you are usually a good indication of what's important, right? And so he says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and even to the end of the age.'" Many well-meaning people would say that if you have to become a disciple to make heaven, you're negating the power of the cross. And I know that some of you would say, if I'm so adamant about us becoming disciples, am I negating the power of the cross? No, I'm not negating the power of the cross. I'm saying because of the power of the cross, we should become His disciples. There's only one way to heaven, and it is through belief in Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for my sins. That's it. But if you truly believe that, if your heart has truly been changed, if your mind has truly been renewed, the Word of God is clear, is that His desire for us is that we would become His disciples. Amen? I'm not negating the power of the cross, folks. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Luke 14:27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's one of the reasons why, if you'll notice in our church, we don't do the bouncy house outreach. Okay? And I know, and I'm not throwing stones at anybody else that does. If they want to grow their church on the backs of bouncy houses, go ahead. To me, I think it's a big lie. I think it's a lie to go down to the community and give people hot dogs and bouncy houses and say, "Come on down and serve the fun Jesus." Because when you show up, there ain't no bouncy houses, man. There's crosses. Pick one up. Amen? And I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, but I feel like it's a lie. I feel like it's a lie to tell somebody, "Hey, come on down and serve the bouncy house Jesus." Because following Jesus is a dying to self daily. It's a picking up your cross daily. And that's what it takes to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And I understand that a lot of people don't like that type of Christianity, and that's fine. Go start a church and do something else. For me, pick up your cross daily. Welcome. 9/11 every week. Here we go. I believe that if you have truly received Christ as your Savior from sin, you should have a desire to want to be fully like Him and do whatever it takes to get there. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a simple guy. You know, when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team. And what many people don't know about me and my illustrious wrestling career at Ballard High School is that the only reason I joined the wrestling team is because they told me I would get a letter as a freshman. Now, I don't know if you know much or remember much about high school, but when you get a letter, it's kind of a big deal. You get to wear the jacket and you walk around. People think you're cool and everything. This big letterman means something when you're in high school. I don't wear it much anymore, but when you're in high school, it's a big deal. And so I was hanging out one day, and the captain of the wrestling team came up to me, and he started poking me and prodding me, and he said, "How much do you weigh?" And I said, "I don't know, about 165 pounds. He says, "Great, you're on the wrestling team." And I said, "I don't want to be on the wrestling team." And he said, "We need a 168-pounder. All you have to do is join the team, lose every match, and you'll get a letter." I said, "I'm in, man. Where do I sign up?" He said, you don't even have to win a match. All you got to do is show up to all the practices and let people beat you up. End of the season, we'll give you a letter. You'll be the coolest guy in school." I was like, sign me up, man. I'm in on this. So I did it. I went to practice every single day. I lost every single match, man. And I lost it with a smile. People say, "Well, how come you're not upset that you're losing?" I'm like, "What do I care, man? I'm lettering. I get a letterman's jacket. I don't care." It was a done deal. It was a solid fact that I was going to letter regardless of whether or not I won any matches. Now, one thing that was predicated on me getting this prize, getting this reward, is I actually had to be part of the team. I didn't get it just by signing up. I had to actually be part of the team. I had to go to the practices. I had to actually put myself out there. I had to actually, even though I had no idea what I was doing, I had to fail and I had to hurt and I had to be a part of what everybody else that was doing that was actually earning it. I just had to show up and be a part of it. They weren't just going to give it to me for just being around the team. I had to actually be part of the team. There's a sermon in there somewhere. One day we'll talk about it. Amen? I'm amazed at how many people say they are born-again believers that have no desire for the things of God. They don't enjoy worship. They don't enjoy preaching. They don't enjoy fellowship. They don't enjoy study. They don't enjoy prayer. But, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe in Jesus. They don't even enjoy talking about God. They talk about everything else. It's fine to talk about anything else, but you start talking about, quiet, man. Somebody here is talking about God. You kidding me? Folks, you should want to be fully engaged with who and what God is and what He wants for you in your life. Amen? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, He says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." Folks, we're supposed to be trained in how to become like Jesus. That's His desire for us. I say it often, I say it all the time. If all God desired for us was belief in Him, He would have given us a pamphlet. But no, He doesn't desire that we would just have belief in Him and read a pamphlet. There's a lot that God is trying to teach us through His Word. And so it's important that we get to know this thing so that He could tell us how we should live our lives. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The call of Jesus Christ is that we must die to self daily. We must make it our goal to please Him. We must make becoming His disciples our number one priority. Amen. Glad you believe it, sister. Amen. That's good. Put up that Luke 14:33. This is a good one. It's in red. Let this burn into your retinas. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake most of what he has cannot be my disciple. Likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Folks, that's a big calling, isn't it? It's a big calling. I know when I stood at the altar and I married my wife, I didn't make a commitment to be, you know, pretty much married to her. I didn't make that kind of commitment. It was a full-on commitment. It was for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, till death do us part. It was a commitment. Folks, it's what the early church did. They forsook, they threw away everything. Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And you probably say to me, well, Pastor, okay, a disciple, how do I do that? Well, luckily, it's in Scripture here today. Verse 31, "Abide in my word." Abide in my word. Do we have that up there? And then Jesus said to the Jews who believe in Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." God's desire for us, and that word abide is a living. It's an existing. You abide in your abode. You live in it. And so when you abide in Jesus, you live in His word. In the present reality of what God's word says and what God has for you and what God wants for you in His word. We must become people who live in the word of God. We can't just become people who give the word a cursory review. We must live in it. It must guide our daily lives. It must dictate our actions and influence our speech and give us direction in our lives. The word wasn't merely there for you to just look at it and be like, "Man, that's really nice." That's not what it's for. It's for you to read it, look at your own life and say, "How do I make my life line up with what the Word of God says?" Not to make heaven, but because you've made heaven already. Jesus paid the penalty. You're going to heaven. His desire is that because of that, we would live like Him. And He gave us an instruction manual to be able to guide us in what we should do and how we should do it. I love this quote from Francis Chan. I'm going to share it with you this morning. Listen closely, church. Francis Chan. "Yet somehow, many have come to believe that a person can be a Christian without being like Christ. A follower who doesn't follow. How does that make any sense? Many people in the church have decided to take on the name of Christ and nothing else. This would be like Jesus walking up to those first disciples and saying, "Hey, would you guys mind identifying yourselves with me in some way? Don't worry. I don't actually care if you do anything I do or change your lifestyle at all. I'm just looking for people who are willing to say they believe in me and call themselves Christians." Seriously? Because that wasn't the call. But that's how a lot of people live their lives, man. Oh, man, I love the Jesus stamp on my life, man. It's good. Born again. Got the T-shirt. That wasn't the desire of Jesus at all. The desire of Jesus is that we would become fully devoted followers of Him. Not out of our own personal preference, but because of what the Word of God says. Amen? We must abide in His Word. And then it says, then you shall know the truth. You know, I've heard so many pastors so many times preaching, "You shall know the truth, the truth will set you free." And they love to talk about people getting free and setting free and all these other things. They forget the verse before that says, if you want to be free, you've got to abide in His Word. You've got to live in His Word. If you want to experience the true freedom that Jesus Christ provides you, you have to actually live in His Word. You have to live in a way that lines up with what the Word of God says. Then you will know, you'll have the knowledge of the truth, and that will make you free. It will enable you to live a way in which the rest of the world is unable to live because you live in a reality that the rest of the world doesn't live in. But you must first become His disciple. A disciple is a student, and a student learns. The promise isn't just that you are merely made free. You must first have the knowledge to be set free. Yes, I understand. Jesus did die on the cross to set you free from the law of sin and death. But you must have knowledge to be able to walk in that. When you receive Christ as Savior, He breaks the bondage of sin in your life. The Holy Spirit comes in, and you are set free. You are a new creation. The Word declares it. But to live in a present reality of kingdom living on this side of heaven, it necessitates an understanding of what God's Word says, what He desires for you, and how you should live your life. And the problem with a lot of people is they don't know what the Word says, so they can't walk in victory. They don't understand the manual. They don't understand the freedom that they have. Oftentimes, people get frustrated with who I am and how I am and what I do and how I do it because they don't understand what the Word says. I live my life in a way that I understand what God has allowed me to do and what I'm not allowed to do. And so it gives me an element of freedom that, sadly, many Christians don't even experience because they don't understand what the Word of God says. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? A person living like they're in prison and they've been set free isn't really free unless they know the knowledge of being set free. Did you catch that? If you're in prison, if you've been in prison and you got a declaration setting you free from prison and you're still living in that prison without the knowledge of knowing that you've been set free, you're not really free unless you've got the knowledge of knowing you've been set free. Doesn't it bother you when people say that they know you without actually knowing you? I don't know about you, but when people say they know me and they don't know me, it makes me mad. So I'm like, man, if you really got to know me, then you'd really not like me, but at least you'd have a reason for it. But people do that to God all the time. They say, oh man, I know who God is. You know, He killed my grandma. Seriously? Man, you don't even know anything about what God's Word says. But that's what people do. Get to know who God is and understand more about what He says, and you'll not have this halfway understanding of who God is. The way that we know this truth is by living in His Word, becoming a follower of Jesus. Then we're able to live these truths that Jesus promises for our lives. Jesus promised to His disciples that when you become a full follower of Him, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Is that a good intro? You guys like that? Let's get to the sermon. What does it mean to you? First thing is this. All of this, every last bit of what we're talking about this morning, is predicated on believing that Jesus is the Savior of the universe. If you don't hear anything else I say, disciple to schmiple, whatever. None of that matters unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what it takes. You have to have a full knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is. Don't miss this, folks. Don't be distracted. Okay? You've got to understand that. There's one way, one doorway, one stairway to heaven for you old folks. It's through Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross, believing in that, is what gains you entry into heaven. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the understanding that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. A sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus didn't come to give you enlightenment. He didn't come to make you feel good. He didn't come to give you the higgly wigglies. You are a sinner that needs a Savior. I had broken God's laws, and because I broke God's laws, my penalty was sin. Jesus, in His utmost grace and mercy, reached down and pulled me out of my own pit of destruction and saved me. If you believe Him and you put your faith in Him, you will understand this. Now, if you have that taken care of, we must become disciples of Jesus. Amen? And I'll tell you, as your pastor and as pastoring this church, man, we've failed at this in a lot of ways. I think back to the people that have been here and left or whatever. We haven't done a really fantastic job at making disciples. Because again, modern day Christianity is the way you make disciples, you just keep showing up. It's true. Well, hopefully today we'll be able to rectify some of that. We must live and abide in God's Word. We must make it the center of our being. It must guide us and direct us and make us who we are. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15? He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Keep My commandments. And some people say, well, I didn't understand. I thought that, you know, there's the Ten Commandments, and I thought we were just supposed to believe in Jesus. Folks, there's a lot of things that God wants you to do. I want to read you some stuff, some commands of Jesus, okay? And if you look, there's a bunch of scriptures. You see the bunch of scripture references on there. I'm not going to read you all the scripture references because we don't have time for that. If you want this list of commands, send me a text, send me an email. I'll email it to you. I'll send it to you, okay? But I want you to listen. These are some things that Jesus said, okay? These are commands Jesus told people. Jesus didn't walk around and just say, hey, man, believe in Me, you'll be good. As somebody said, there was a lot of things that He told people to do. Repent. Repent means to turn away. Turn away from the world. He said, follow Me. Rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's law. Be reconciled. Do not lust. Keep your word. Go the second mile. Be perfect. Work on that one. Practice secret disciplines. Lay up treasures. Seek God's kingdom. Judge not. Do not cast pearls. Ask, seek, and knock. Do unto others. Choose the narrow way. Beware of false prophets. Pray for laborers. Be wise as serpents. Hear God's voice. Take My yoke. Honor your parents. Any kids in here? Honor your parents. Listen to that one. Beware of leaven. Deny yourself. Despise not little ones. Go to offenders. Beware of covetousness. Forgive offenders. Honor marriage. Be a servant. Be a house of prayer. Ask in faith. Bring in the poor. Render to Caesar. Love the Lord. Well, I got another page here. Love your neighbor. Await My return. Take, eat, and drink. We did that. Be born again. Keep My commandments. Watch and pray. Feed My sheep. Baptize My disciples. Receive God's power. And make disciples. I understand that the scripture. And here's what happens. And this is the danger. People take one scripture and they just take it all the way. John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Folks, we must believe. We must put our faith in Jesus and what He has done. And this is the only way that earns a way to heaven. But if we believe it, we must live it. We can't stop there. We just can't. And it's not to earn our way to heaven. It's because our way to heaven has already been earned. How can I say I'm married to my wife and we don't have a relationship? It doesn't work that way. I don't know. Okay, I've met a few people, but most people that I've met don't want to be married just in title only. Most people want an abiding relationship with another human being. and it takes the work. Okay, I don't spend time with my wife because I want to make sure that, you know, I really want to earn that marriage certificate that we got 15 years ago. That's not why I do it. It's because I love her. I enjoy spending time with her. Okay, I live out my relationship with her. We can't say that we're married without actually being married. You can't say you're a parent unless you actually parent your kids. Right? You can't say you're a pastor unless you actually are pastoring. You can't claim things that are true or that are not true if they're not true. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you must become a disciple of Jesus. Amen? You know, I said a moment earlier, and I say it, man, I think our church has failed in a lot of ways of making clear disciples of Jesus. And, man, I found this book, like, I don't know, it's been about 5 months. We got this book. It's called Multiply. I'm not selling them, don't worry. But it's written by Francis Chan. And, man, this is the best discipleship guide I've ever seen since I've been a Christian. And I wish that someone would have given it to me, you know, 20-some-odd years ago. And I wish that we would have had it 10 years ago when we started this church. But as soon as I read this, I read the foreword, and then the next day I went to the leadership of the church, and I was like, hey, man, we're doing this book. Our church is now about this book. And they're like, shouldn't we read the whole book? I'm like, just read the foreword, then tell me we're not going to do the book. And then everybody read the foreword, like, all right, we're doing the book. This book lays out the basics of Christianity and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it's a commitment, man. I mean, this thing's like, I don't know, 30 lessons. And you do it with somebody else. And so like me and Brian Brackett back there on the soundboard, we've been going through it week by week. And it's hard, man. We got to make it and put it on our schedule and make it a priority. And we get together and we talk about it. And his pastor's becoming a disciple. Isn't that awesome? And so that was a joke. And so I want to encourage you guys to go through this book, okay? The first place I would say is if you're married, you should do it with your spouse. Don't do this alone. If you don't have somebody that you can do it through, hound any pastor in this church every day until we find somebody to go through it with you. But I encourage you to get a hold of the copy of this book and go through it. This is why I love this book so much, is that it's free. It's the first Christian book I've ever got that was free. You can go to the website, multiplymovement.com or .org, I don't remember, but it's Multiply Movement. You can download this whole book for free. They've got videos for every single lesson. They've got things that you can print out for every single lesson, and it's totally and completely free. And what I love about it is that for those of us that have never really had like a clear, like, okay, I believe in Jesus, but what do I do now? This is like the clearest discipleship guide that I've ever seen. And so all of us pastors right now are currently discipling somebody, and then after that we're going to find somebody else, we're going to multiply, we're going to go. But it just, I've been waiting for a time to share this with you, and because today's message ended up being about discipleship, I want you to get your hands on this, and I want you to make a commitment to go through this thing. And I don't care if you've been serving God for 30 years. If you say to yourself, man, I've never been clearly discipled, this is for you. Because I know that for me, even as your pastor, planted a church, we're out here doing this thing, nobody ever sat me down and discipled me. Ever. It's sad. It's really sad. And I think about the people that have gotten saved in this church where we please continue to come. We're going to give you everything that we can. But it's like even something like the atonement. Half of you don't even know what that word means. You pick it up eventually. Atonement means payment for your sins. This book helps you understand what the atonement means. It helps you understand why we've got sin and how to be a part of a church. And so go to Multiply Movement, sign up, find somebody to do it with you. If you need somebody, let us know, okay? Great, I'm so glad you guys were inspired. It's perfect. And big old rousing thing about discipleship and book and everything. Okay, and everybody goes, well, bless God. We'll get there eventually. Amen. Because here's what's going to happen, folks. I know you guys want to get out of here. All right? Give me a few more minutes. Here's what's going to happen. Okay? If you learn to abide in God's Word, if you fall in love with that thing, if you let it ingest in you and you let it guide you, you will be more free than you've ever been in your entire life. It's the promise of Scripture. It's the promise of Jesus. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll be able to experience freedom like you've never experienced before in your life. And the problem with a lot of people is they haven't been set free because they don't know the truth. John 17, verses 16 through 18. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. The reason why I know I'm not of this world is because God's word says I'm not of this world. That we may know the truth and become made pure by it is knowing the truth. And we know this truth by knowing His word. And when we know the word, we follow His commands. And we follow His commands and we're set free. And I understand that as a Christian, and I don't want to become one of these, you know, don't wear this, don't wear that, don't do this, don't do that type of Christianity, because that's no fun for anybody. I legalism never did anything for anyone at all. Nobody's like, bless God, I've got the best legalistic church I know how. But the reason why I become legalistic to myself is because of what God tells me in His Word. I'm fully persuaded of what I should and shouldn't do. I'm fully persuaded of what I can do and what I can't do. And the truth is, there are things that God allows me to do that He won't allow you to do. Because you and I have a different faith in that way. Me and my wife are married, and there's things that I can do that she can't do that God told her not to do, and He told me, go ahead, son, you're fine. And you say, how is that possible? Well, if you knew what God's Word said about it, you would understand that that's how it works. 1 John 5:3, for this is love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. When we love God and we follow His commandments, we experience the joy of living a life that has been truly set free. A lot of people don't like rules and regulations, and that's fine, but folks, they're everywhere. I don't know if I just want to live free. Well, it's not around here, man, because you can't go fast, you can't drive on somebody else's lawn, you can't take something that's not yours. I mean, there's rules everywhere. To become a follower of Jesus, you stop fighting God and what He's asking you to do. You just accept it and live in it. If God tells you to do it, you just do it and you live with it. And you're not burdensome about it. You're not angry about it. It's the reason like why when we do our giving, we're like, man, if you're upset about giving to God, don't give. Don't give. It's not a burden. It's a pleasure to be able to give God. It's a pleasure. And I don't complain about it. I don't worry about the fact that, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It's what God tells me to do. I'm going to do it. I don't need anyone to understand me or to like me or to agree with me. If I have agreement with God and He and I are in the right place, that's all that matters. And when you get to that point in your Christian walk where you quit worrying about what everybody else thinks, you're like, you only worry about what God thinks, then you finally be able to experience the freedom in Christ that you're longing for. It's one of the reasons why I preach the way that I preach. I'm not an angry person. I just get fired up about it, man. I want to be fired up about serving God. And there's nothing wrong with having fun. I have a fun life, man. I love the life that I live. Outside of the pulpit, I'll joke around with the best of them, but when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth, man, it ain't a joking matter, man. It's a serious matter. I'm not looking for man's stamp of approval on my relationship with God. People are not going to agree with you if you're living free because they are in bondage, and people in bondage don't like people that are free. They don't like it. Brother Russ, would you come please and play? Do me a favor. Would you just close your eyes? Would you bow your heads for a moment? Would you give the Holy Spirit just a couple more minutes before we get out of here? Now, you may be sitting here this morning and you have never given your life to Jesus before. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you up here. Man, bless God. We had two people added to the family of God in first service. You should have seen it, man. This little young man, I think he's about 10 years old. He raised his hand and said, I want to live for Jesus. You never seen more prouder parents in their life. All it takes is you making a decision of, I cannot live my life on my own. I am a sinner who needs a Savior. I have broken God's laws and I need to be saved from myself. And you don't even have to fully understand it. You just have to understand that if you don't have Jesus, you don't get to heaven. You don't get to experience the kingdom of God on this side of heaven. And if you've never made that decision before, and you want to make that decision today, I want to be in agreement with you. I'll give you a free Bible. I ain't going to embarrass you. I just want to believe with you. And I've seen many a life changed by a raised hand that says, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. Amen. Is there anybody else? I didn't even ask, and the hand shot up. Is there anybody else that wants to give their life to Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Anybody else? The Holy Spirit is going to become real to you in a way that you've never experienced before by that raising of the hand. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you hear this sermon on discipling, and you think to yourself, man, Pastor, I need to be discipled. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I want you to make a commitment right now between you and God. A commitment. God, I'm gonna do this multiply book. And it's people be like, well, I only need the Bible. It's true, man, you only need the Bible. This is just a really good guide to get you through the Bible. Okay? Don't be all legalistic when I just talked about not being legalistic. But make a commitment today before God. Say, God, I'm going to go through that thing with my friend, with my spouse. I'm going to hound one of the pastors until they find me somebody that I can go through it with. But I want to be a fully devoted follower of you. I've appreciated and enjoyed my fire insurance. But God, I want to be your disciple. I want my life to be characterized by living wholly and completely for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for those two souls that raised their hands, God. I pray that you will become so real to them that they will never deny again their relationship with you. Father, I pray that as their hearts are turning towards you and putting their faith in you, God, that you would forgive them of their sins. Holy Spirit, do your work of recreation right now. Make them a new creation. And Father, I pray for us as a church, as Faith and Victory, God, that we would be a church of disciples, disciple makers. We would have discipleship. God, not because we want to make heaven, but because we've already made heaven, God, we want to be your disciples. We want to be your followers. We want to live our lives pleasing to you. We want to learn what it means to take up our cross daily. Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we glorify you today, God. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.